all the time. And when I was thinking about money here this afternoon, an old saying came back to me: you can't live with it, you can't live without it. It was a number of years ago, there was a raffle, and they were raffling off two Ford Mustangs. One was a classic that was restored, and the other was a brand new one. The two together probably cost close to $150,000, give or take. Now, that didn't matter because it was a raffle. So you didn't have to buy it, you just had to win them, right? The trouble is that the taxes on those cars were so high that nobody wanted them, or at least they couldn't afford them. So the organization who organized the raffle kicked in an extra $50,000 to cover the taxes. It's amazing. Even when you have the money, you don't really have the money. And then, of course, you can't really live without it, can you? Go try to buy a car, since we're talking about cars, without any money. You're probably not going to get very far. You know, go to the supermarket without any money. The best you're going to do is steal. And then you're in trouble, because if they catch you, you're going to have to pay a fine, and you might do a night in the clink, right? So you can't live with it, you can't live without it. That's money. The Bible, interestingly, says a lot about money. For instance, money itself is not evil, but the love of money is. The Bible also talks about how to give money as though you are giving unto the Lord. And it talks about it in a couple of different ways. For instance, to bring the tithe into the storehouse. The Bible talks about a lot of different offerings as well. Give to the poor, give to the needy, those who are hurting. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that that church took up an offering to send to the church in Jerusalem to help them out when they were going through a terrible famine and could not afford the basics of life. The Bible also talks about giving to missionaries. And this is an incredible endeavor that we can play a role in. We right now as a church support over 30 missionaries and missions-minded organizations. It's an honor, really, to participate with them in the ministry. And it leads to a question: why should we give to missions? It's a good question. And the answer is that the Bible lays down the foundation for the answer, specifically in the book of 3 John. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead to 3 John, please. And if we could find 3 John, we're probably going to read it straight through. So nothing specific. We'll start in verse 1 and read all the way to the end. Sounds good to me. So this is the book of 3 John. There's 1 John, 2 John, and then you got 3 John. Isn't that something? I always wondered why they didn't call it 4 John. You know, 1 John, 2 John, 4 John. They probably called it 3 John because it's the third one in a row. It's written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the book of John, the Gospel, and the book of Revelation. So 5 New Testament books are attributed to the Apostle John. Here's what it says: "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me a great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us." I love that word, nonsense. I use it all the time. "Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. That's it. That's the whole letter. One of the shortest letters in the entire Bible. And here, we see that it was written by the elder. The elder, of course, as we've already talked about, is John the Apostle. There have been some other names put forth over the last 2,000 years. None of them make any sense. None of them really work. This is a letter written by the Apostle John. And he's writing to a man named Gaius. Now, we get the sense that he's a friend of John's. More than that, he very well could be a spiritual son. And the reason I say that is because in verse 4, he talks about how one of his greatest joys is to see his children walking in the truth. Now, he's not necessarily talking about biological children. He's talking about children in the faith. So Gaius could literally be a son in the faith of the Apostle John, much like Timothy was a son of the Apostle Paul. Okay, it's a very close relationship, sort of a mentoring, mentee type of relationship, a teacher-student, that sort of a thing. And in verse 2, John prays a prayer of blessing. Take a look at verse 2 again. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, this is typical of many letters back in those days. They would many times open with a greeting of good health and that it would all go well with you. And that phrase, go well with you, literally means to have a good journey. And it's interesting because the NIV translates the last part, even as your soul is getting along well, in older translations it talks about your soul prospering. Either way, that you would prosper on your journey through life. So John opens this letter with a typical blessing that you would find back in those days. He then changes gears, and we get a picture of what kind of man this Gaius was. Let's take a look at verses 3 through 8 again. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. What's happening here is the apostle received a very encouraging report about Gaius from a group of people that John calls brothers and sisters. These would be brothers and sisters in the Lord. In other words, fellow disciples who met Gaius. Pretty simple. They get back to John and say, hey, we've met him. He's the real deal. They testify that Gaius is faithful to the truth. Right? That's how they knew he was the real deal, because he was faithful for the truth. Now, many times when we think of truth, we think of speaking it. Right? What's the opposite of truth? And that would be a lie many times. You speak truth, you speak lies. And I'm sure that Gaius did indeed speak the truth. But it was more than that. Walking in the truth, holding on to the truth, speaks also to his sincerity and his integrity of character. This was a man who had good character, godly character, right? And these brothers and sisters recognized that Gaius was faithful to the truth, not just in words then, but in life. So his words would reflect the truth. His life, his character, his integrity would have reflected the truth as well. And they really hammer home this fact by saying that he was walking in the truth. He was a man who was faithful to God and to the truth. Of course, we've got to ask the question here, what is truth? Well, here we're speaking ultimately of God's word, right? We're speaking of God's word. So this was a man who was faithful to and walking in God's truth by his very word. This, again, as we saw in verse 4, was one of John's greatest joys. And I can identify with that. There's nothing like when, as a pastor, you see people you're pastoring, your ministry to, growing in their faith. There's nothing like it. It makes it all worthwhile, you know. It also applies to your biological kids. I got 5 of them running around. And it's kind of cool because, obviously, Wendy and I talk about the faith in our home. My kids each said it under my ministry. They hear the word of God. But one other thing we did over the years is we modeled it for them, especially in a couple of ways. One, in forgiving one another and asking for forgiveness. 2 was reading the word of God on our own. We would go off by ourselves, Wendy and me, and we'd spend however long in the Bible. And I don't know how long ago it was now. I can't recall, but my son Josh is 17. And the next thing you know, he's reading the word on his own, taking notes, doing all of this stuff. What he's been doing is taking sticky notes and he's putting them up on his ceiling. And he's put them in the form of a cross, which is interesting. I tell you what, that brings great joy. And I think that's what John the Apostle was feeling about his adopted children, if you will, his children of faith. This is what he was feeling about Gaius. So the stage is set for where we want to go here tonight. We get an understanding of Gaius, a man of character, a man of integrity, a man of truth. And we see that John is really, really happy. He's filled with the joy of the Lord. Okay? How did these people who are giving this report back to John know that Gaius was the man who they said he was? And the answer is very, very simple. They knew he was a man of character. They knew he was a man of integrity, a man of truth, because he was ministering to those brothers and sisters. Take a look at verses 5-8 again. This gives us a good insight into Gaius and how he would live out his life. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. So they knew he was a man of character and truth because of what he was doing for them. In other words, they saw his faithfulness, they saw his integrity, they saw his character in action. You see, faith, faithfulness, character leads to doing things, right? It leads to a life lived for Jesus. So the question is what was Gaius doing for these brothers and sisters? Well, whatever it was specifically, they knew through his actions that he loved them. He served them and he loved them even though they were strangers to him, which is pretty cool, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely, but they didn't know Gaius from a hole in the wall and vice versa. It didn't matter to him. He was still going to love them, serve them, minister to them. It's very simple, very plain. This is how they knew Gaius was walking in the truth. Matter of fact, Jesus says in the Bible that we are to love one another, meaning the body of Christ. This is exactly what Gaius was doing. The report comes to John. And it seems that those brothers and sisters were still with Gaius when John writes some instructions, okay? And he reminds Gaius to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Take a look at verse 6 again. I believe we find this in verse 6. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God, in a manner that is worthy of God. Now, this is a very important verse, okay? The question is why? Why is this such an important thing for us to get? Number one, because as we saw just a second ago, these brothers and sisters in Christ are indeed brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus commands us to love one another. So in essence, what John is saying here to Gaius is, hey, you've already served them, you've already loved them, now keep loving them, and when you send them off in a great manner, okay? But also, and here's the main point, and I bring this up because this Sunday we have a missionary couple from Romania coming to speak. These brothers and these sisters that Gaius was ministering to were what we would call today missionaries. Take a look at verses 7 and 8 again. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Key phrase here, they went out for the sake of the name. So, were they going out for the Apostle John's name? How about George, Paul, Ringo, Peter, Paul, and Mary? Who are they going out? What name are they going out for? Well, you all know, what's the name? Jesus, yeah. So, we're talking about the name of Jesus here, not an old folk rock band and the Beatles. And what they were doing is that this group of people had gone out to preach the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus. And they went out, as one brother in Christ has said in the past, as missionaries on behalf of the name of Jesus. As such, obviously, these missionaries would not receive any help at all from the pagan world. When you think of the pagan world, think of the Gentile world, people who don't know Christ, right? They're not going to pour their money and their energy and their help into a group of people who are sharing the gospel because they didn't believe in the gospel. Matter of fact, many of them would have been hostile to the gospel. So these missionaries would not receive help from just anybody. They needed the body of Christ, the church, to help them accomplish God's will. And Gaius, who was a son of the living God and a member of God's family, was there to do it. He ministered to them while they were there. And now John encourages Gaius to send them out in the same way. Don't exactly know what that looks like. Maybe sending them out with their wagons packed with food, if they had wagons. Maybe he slipped them, a couple of hundreds. I don't know. But either way, send them out. Minister to them in the same way that you're ministering to them now. Remember, they're going out for the name and the sake of Jesus. That is Gaius. Gaius is a man of God, isn't he? Yeah. This would be a guy that I would not mind if my two daughters, you can't both marry Gaius. That would be a little weird, a little unbiblical, although you never know what 10 years might bring, the way we're going as a nation right now. Let me say it this way. A man like him, if both of my daughters found guys like him, I'd be happy, yeah. That would be a good thing. This is Gaius, a man of God. We then run into another dude named Diotrephes. Oh, Diotrephes. Take a look at verse 9. Here it is, verse 9, we run into Diotrephes. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. There's another great phrase. Actually, it's a terrible phrase. Loved to be first. You know what that means? He thought he was better than everybody else. He was the big man on campus. Big fish in a little pond, however you want to say it. This is Diotrephes. He had an ego, he was proud, and he was going to control things. This was a guy who was all about himself. My way or the highway, I think would be a good way to describe Diotrephes. And notice that John says here that Diotrephes would have nothing to do with us. So here's the deal. Us here probably refers to John himself, but also those missionaries that Gaius was ministering to. Diotrephes didn't want anything to do with them whatsoever. As a matter of fact, as you read through, or as we read through a few moments ago, the rest of these scriptures, we see that Diotrephes was gossiping maliciously about John and others. We see that he did not welcome the missionaries at all. And again, he must have had some kind of power, a position of power and influence, because he was literally kicking those out of the church who did support the missionaries. Look at verse 10 again. Could you imagine going to a church where somebody's kicking the missionaries out? That's wild stuff. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. This guy's nasty. Somehow, Gaius survived him. Obviously, he wasn't able to get rid of Gaius. So praise the Lord, we got a man on the ground there for Jesus in the midst of all of the nonsense. But again, this whole situation, this whole description of Diotrephes reminds me of pride. It reminds me of pride. Again, my way or the highway. He's only out for himself. He doesn't care about God. Doesn't care about God's word. Doesn't care about those who are spreading God's word. Didn't care about God's leaders, the Apostle John. Didn't care about missionaries. This dude, man, he was the polar opposite of Gaius. I would not want him to marry one of my daughters. Matter of fact, if he was to come over to the house, it could get ugly. Ugly in Jesus, of course, you know what I mean. So John says to Gaius, imagine this, do not live like him. Take a look at verses 11 and 12 again. This makes a whole lot of sense. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Back to Diotrephes, he's not of God, never seen God, obviously walking in evil, and it was proved by his actions. Instead, in verse 12, he says to Gaius, imitate what was good, imitate a guy like this Demetrius. Demetrius was well spoken of. He was walking in the truth just like Gaius. So here's this short letter. And in it, we see this contrast between the man of God, Gaius, and a false, a false follower of Christ, the exact opposite of Gaius, right? Gaius and Diotrephes. Be like Gaius, be like Demetrius. Don't be like Diotrephes. So for us, and I shared this with you when we first started, the reason I share this tonight specifically is because we have a missionary couple coming this Sunday morning, Mike and Anna Descalescu. They are Romanian by birth, and they came over to America many, many years ago, and they have now been sent back by God to take the gospel to Romania. Now, I don't want to steal their thunder because their story is pretty incredible, specifically how they escaped communist Romania. It was an incredible story. It still is an incredible story, and I'm hoping that she or he shares it once again. I met them a number of years ago when I was in Wilkes-Barre, and we actually brought them on monthly to support them. Just a wonderful couple. They're back in itineration, and so they are coming this Sunday. And I can tell you that the Descalescus are not getting any help from the pagan world. They're not getting any help from the communists, whoever's still around there that's communist. They're not getting any help from the Muslims. They're not getting any help from the atheists. They are not getting any help whatsoever from these folks. The only thing that they may get from them is persecution and a big old headache, right? So like John the Apostle says to Gaius 2,000 years ago, We need to show hospitality. We need to pour into this missionary couple this coming Sunday and send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. As a matter of fact, we need to do this with all of our missionaries. I mentioned before that we support over 30 missionaries and missions-minded groups. We have a missions offering, what, the fourth Sunday of every month. We also give, the goal is to give about 10% of our budget as well to help our missionaries. It's been a wonderful endeavor over the years for this church. To say this church is missions-minded would be a bit of an understatement. And I do agree with those who would say that one of the reasons why God has blessed us is because we're given to missions. Okay, we're helping those who are going out for the name to places that you and I can't go, that you and I are not called to go. Some of the missionaries that we support are going to completely unreached places. There's not a Christian within miles. Man, that's exciting stuff. We may not be there, but when we support them, man, God can use that to bring the gospel, and we play a role, an important role, in the spreading of the gospel. Because to be honest, they're not going to be there if we're not giving. If they can't meet their budget, they're not going. So praise God for faithful churches, faithful people like you who give and share when it comes to missions. A reminder, though, continue to give to missions. Continue to pour into the ministry that God has raised up. Listen, these missionaries have been commissioned by God himself. Gaius understood it. He ministered to them while he was there. Send them out on a way that is worthy. Now, I don't get the sense, and this is a good thing, Larry, I don't get the sense that Emmanuel Assembly of God would be like Diotrephes and fight against our missionaries. That would be wild. You know, they come through and they set up their missions table in the foyer, and all of a sudden somebody from our church says, get out of here, we don't want your kind. That'd be a lot of nonsense. And I tell you what, somebody would have a conversation with those people. Thank God none of us here would be like Diotrephes. But let's not be indifferent either. In other words, we're going to have a shot this Sunday to give. And it's not about equal giving, right? It's about equal sacrifice. I think that's a good way to remember that. Not everybody can give the same amount. It's just not feasible. And that's okay. We're not in this to compare ourselves one to another. We're not even in this to compare our church to other churches. We're simply here to bless those who God has raised up. So let's not be indifferent. Let's not be like Diotrephes, obviously. Let's be like Gaius, supporting, showing hospitality, giving as the Lord would give, lead us to give. Amen. And this Sunday, what's cool is after the service is over, they will have that table up. They have a table that's set up before the service, so you may have an opportunity to speak with them prior to the service. You'll definitely have an opportunity after the service. They'll probably have prayer cards. And if you felt the leading of the Spirit, and this is just between you and God, but I throw it out there because this is a way that we can give, you could take a prayer card, you can be praying for them specifically, and you could give directly to them yourself. That's the cool thing. We can go through the church, obviously, but you can also give to them yourself. There was a missionary that we had, I think it was 2 years ago now, who came, and he spoke during our missions month in November. I think it must have been the November of 2016. And we took up an offering for him, and I was very pleasantly surprised at the gift that we were able to give him. I gave it to him, and as he looked at it, he began to weep because it was a significant amount of money that we were pouring into him and into his ministry. And knowing him, and I go back with him, Kevin Barner, many years now, he's not in it for himself. He is so, so looking forward to getting back out on that field and sharing the gospel of Jesus. That's what it's all about. So again, let's be like Gaius. Let's forget about Diotrephes. And by the way, let's forget about Diotrephes, not only when it comes to giving to missionaries, but let's forget about Diotrephes completely. Let me change that. Let's never forget Diotrephes, but let's not live like Diotrephes. That's the better way to say it. We do not want to be led by pride. Pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall, right? God opposes the proud, the Bible says, but he gives grace to the humble. Diotrephes was being opposed by God, whether he knew it or not at that point, he was being opposed. And I hope and pray that Diotrephes got the message and he repented. See, we don't know the rest of the story here. We don't know what happened. Did he receive what John had to say? It's a good question. One day we'll find out. I hope and pray he did. Just like I hope and pray the rich young ruler turned to Jesus. Remember, he walked away from Jesus because he couldn't give up his stuff. That wasn't the end of the story, though. Who knows? Maybe he comes to Jesus after the resurrection. We don't know. Either way, let's live like Gaius, support our missionaries, and say no to Diotrephes and pride. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up if we could. Spring is coming. It's close. It's not perfect yet, but it's getting there. We had snow over in the New Tripoli area yesterday. If it was 3 or 4 degrees colder, we may have ended up with 2 inches. That's how heavy it was. It was beautiful. I loved it. But it didn't stick, which was very nice. I'm ready for the 60s and 70s and sun. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us down through the ages. Just like you were concerned about missions back then, you're still concerned about missions today. And Father, we want to pray for a moment here for each one of the missionaries that we support. We want to pray for the Descalescus who are coming this Sunday. We pray that you'd bless them. We pray that you would help each of the missionaries raise the support that they need to do what you are calling them to do. We pray that you would protect them from the evil one as they are on the field. We pray that you would send forth your spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would know you better. Father, for those who are married, you'd protect the marriages. There'd be a deep love between spouses. And Lord, we pray for the power and anointing of your spirit to flow in and through them, that souls would be saved and disciples would be made. And Father, we lift up this Sunday that as a congregation, we would be able to send them out in a manner worthy of the name. So Father, use us to bless this wonderful missionary couple. And we also ask, Lord, that our integrity, our character would be more and more like Gaius, in that the pride of Diotrephes, whatever pride it may be in us, would die. Father, we thank you for all these things, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great rest of your week, and see you soon.